Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Iceberg Recap, your home for Pittsburgh Penguins game recaps and analysis. You can watch us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from. This one did not go in the Penguins' favor from start to finish. They lose by a final score of 6-1 to close out their four-game Pacific Northwest road trip with a 1-3 record. Let's get into this one against the Edmonton Oilers. It went exactly how you would have expected it. After what happened in Calgary happened and they blew that 3-1 third period lead, everybody was looking towards this game and saying, well, it's only going to get worse. There was a small sliver of hope, especially on my end, especially considering how they kicked off this road trip with a win over the Vancouver Canucks, that they would be able to maybe play up to their competition. They've done it several times throughout the season. Their back was against the wall. You hoped, small sliver of hope, but still you hoped nonetheless that they were going to be able to come out and put on a solid performance to close out this road trip. And instead, it looked exactly how you'd expect it. It was Edmonton being one of the better teams in the National Hockey League. It was the Penguins looking like a shell of their former selves and certainly not looking like they belonged on the ice with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the rest of the team that was in orange and blue on Sunday night. But let's get into the goal recap because it is a lot of white, not a lot of yellow, as you can see on Inside the Penguins on YouTube. It started early with the Edmonton Oilers getting up to a 1-0 lead. Zach Hyman scores his 41st goal of the season on a 2-on-1. Connor McDavid came in, passed it off of Alex Nedeljkovic's pads, picking up his 74th assist of the season. Leon Draisaitl started it all, picking up his 46th assist. And throughout the first period, the Penguins, while they didn't create a lot of offense, they were at least trying to play better team defense. You could tell that coming into this game, the game plan was we need to win this game by a final score of 2-1 or 3-2. You can't get into a shootout with the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid because the Penguins, who are already one of the bottom third defensive teams in the National Hockey League, going up against a couple all-world talents, it's a mismatch. So you had to play complete and total team defense. You needed all five skaters on the ice to be committed to slowing down the Edmonton Oilers attack. And what that left the Penguins with was very little in way of offensive opportunities, very little to give Calvin Pickard as far as challenges throughout that opening period. But they exited the opening 20 minutes with only a one-goal deficit. And then things got out of hand in the second period. Corey Perry kicks things off with his 8th goal of the season. Ryan McLeod and Warren Fogle tack on the assists to make it 2-0. Zach Hyman scores his 2nd goal of the game. Assists go to Leon Draisaitl and Evan Bouchard to make it 3-0. A little bit later, Ryan McLeod banks it off of Alex Nedeljkovic's upper body from an impossible angle to make it 4-0 in favor of Edmonton. His 10th of the season, Kulak and Evander Kane get the assists on that one. Then, to add insult to injury, it is getting blown out on the road by Edmonton. Not a good sign. It's obviously not a good feeling, but then for a former Penguin to get in on the action, especially one that doesn't score a lot of goals, Cody Ceci scores his 2nd goal of the season with an absolute wired wrist shot coming in from the point, beating Alex Nedeljkovic, sifting it through 3 Penguins defenders, making it 5-0 and ending what was a just horrendous second period. A second period in which resembled last year's game in March that happened at PPG Paints Arena, where it just looked like Edmonton was classes above the Pittsburgh Penguins. Warren Fogle, Brett Kulak pick up the assists on that one. It was 5-0 after two periods. It was all over but the crying at that point. Connor McDavid adds on a goal in the third period, his 23rd of the season, to make it 6-0. And then Mike Rupp said it on the broadcast. Now, I do commend Mike Rupp for trying to look at the bright side. He said, there's the silver lining. Evgeny Malkin finally gets off the schneid, picks up the goal off of a lucky bounce. Riley Smith trying to reverse course behind the net. It ends up deflecting up over the net and falling right down in front where Malkin had a wide open goal. He puts it in for his 17th of the season. Riley Smith gets his 16th assist. Ricard Raquel picks up a secondary assist, his 18th. Sure, I guess you could call that a silver lining, but at the end of the day, that is the smallest and thinnest silver lining that you could potentially find out of this one. And at triple zeros, this one was a 6-1 defeat for the Pittsburgh Penguins at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. Just not a good night. Not a good night for the Penguins, but those have been stacking up all season long. That's three losses in a row for the Penguins, and similar to, let's go to the three stars where no Penguins ended up making an appearance in this one. Ryan McLeod gets the third star of the game, 1 goal, 1 assist. He had a nice goal on that impossible angle for the, I believe it was the fourth goal of the game for the Edmonton Oilers. Nice, solid performance from Ryan McLeod. He gets the third star. Zach Hyman, 2 goals in this one. I did not know Zach Hyman was a 40-goal scorer in the league. Haven't paid too much attention to the Edmonton Oilers, but certainly last night he made that evident. 41st and 42nd goals of the season for Hyman. He gets the second star of this game. And the first star, Leon Draisaitl. 3 assists. Dude is every bit the superstar that we expected him to be this season. He's every bit the superstar that he's been over the past 5 seasons. And he led the Oilers en route to a absolute easy victory. I don't even know, like, there's not even words to describe how lifeless the Penguins looked throughout the majority of this game. How little opportunity you thought that they would have to come back, even when they were down 1-0. You thought, all right, maybe they get a good bounce, but at the end of the day, they were not creating offensively. They were barely stemming the tide defensively, and then the floodgates opened, and at that point, you basically either turned the game off or continued to watch it basically as a comedy show, the way I did. Final thoughts in this one. The Penguins finished their road trip 1-3-0 in a road trip that started with so much hope. Right? You thought they planted their foot in the ground with that victory over the Vancouver Canucks. The buck stops here. They're going to catch their footing. They're going to go off from here and maybe make that miraculous run that gets them close to or into a playoff spot. And then you face off against two teams that are around the same spot as you. Calgary, even worse spot than you because they've already started to sell. You get shut out by Seattle. You blow that lead against Calgary, and then you come into a game where you're fighting an uphill battle from the second the puck drops simply because of the disparity between the Oilers' talent level and the Penguins' talent level, and the ability of the Oilers versus the ability of the Penguins, the offense of the Oilers versus the struggling defense of the Penguins. It's an uphill battle, and it's exactly what it turned out to be, a blowout in favor of the Edmonton Oilers, a game in which the Penguins had no hope of picking up the 2 points, and you finish that road trip with a 3-game losing streak. You started it by getting onto a 3-game winning streak, winning that third in a row against Vancouver, and it's interesting to see how hard it is for this team to put together 3 straight wins and how easy it is to directly after that lose 3 straight and lose all of the momentum they were able to pick up. Here's the thing. This kicks off a very, very important week, not just for the Penguins this season, because I don't think the Penguins this season have very much of a hope of doing anything, but it's a very important week for the Penguins next season. This is the first chance Kyle Dubas has to put his stamp on what he's going to be able to do throughout the next couple of months to get things ready for October of 2024 to kick off the 2024-25 season. How much can he clean the slate before the NHL's trade deadline on Friday afternoon? He continued to say that he wanted the Penguins to show him the course that he should take at the trade deadline. Unequivocally, over this Pacific Northwest road trip, they have showed him that he needs to sell, sell, sell. Everything that is not bolted to the ground, the only things bolted to the ground right now are Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, and Erik Karlsson. He stated it a couple weeks ago in his press conference. You might not like that if you're listening to this. You might say, hey, Evgeny Malkin's cooked. You might say, hey, Chris Letang is cooked. Erik Karlsson's cooked. You can say whatever you want. Those four are nailed to the ground. They're not going anywhere. It's not going to happen. Everybody else on the team, though, should be in play. I know he said that he didn't want to ask players to move or waive their no-move clauses, but if there is something that is going to come back in return that is so hard to say no to, i.e. for Brian Rust, who a lot of playoff teams should be interested in after he comes back from this injury. He's a huge playoff performer. He plays in all three phases of the game. He can fit up and down your lineup. If an offer comes in that is too good to refuse, it is general managerial, I don't even know what to say, malpractice, if you don't at least take that to Rust and ask him, hey, we have a great offer. You could go to this team and try to sell him on potentially waiving his no-move clause to go to a playoff team to potentially go and try to win his third Stanley Cup, right? He was on 2016 team. Yes, he was. He scored a couple of goals in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I rest my case on his value when it comes to the postseason play. So should make for a very interesting trade deadline week. The Penguins need to clear the board as much as possible. We'll see how much they're able to do. Obviously, a lot of this depends on what's coming the other direction, what teams are interested in some of the Penguins players, but I do think there's going to be a couple of moves made here in the next week to clean out just cap space, to clean out, you know, roster space as far as how many contracts are on the Penguins organization, and just clear out what could be the whiteboard for next season, making sure that you're starting as fresh as humanly possible for the second offseason in a row. Kyle Dubas had to clear the board himself in a short period of time last offseason. This year, he can get a head start, and that starts this week with the trade deadline. But up next, immediately for the Penguins on the ice, they get back home for back-to-back games against Metropolitan Division matchup or rivals. Starts with a Metro matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night. Pens are 10-1-1. In their last 12 games dating back to the 2019-20 season against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So if you want a better taste in your mouth, if you want the Penguins to go out there and get a victory, you want to see the Penguins at least get a better chance to get a victory than they did on Sunday night, watch on Tuesday. Now, if they lose that one, vibes might be at an all-time low because the Columbus Blue Jackets have had nothing against the Penguins over the past, what, 4 or 5 years? If they go out there and beat the Penguins at this stage of the season, I don't know if the vibes could get any lower. But we'll see what happens on Tuesday. As of this game, we're closing the book on it. 6-1 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Unfortunately, they play the Oilers again next Sunday. We'll see how that ends up winding up for the Penguins. But that's going to be it for this episode of the Iceberg Recap. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.